Morning, I want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. As you can tell, I have a cold, so I am feeling a little under the weather this morning, so I'd appreciate your prayers that can keep from coughing too much and distracting from the sermon. But you can open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning for a message. Now, sometimes you're reading through your personal devotions and you come across the passage of Scripture and you find inspiration in that, and that's what you want to share on. But I'll be honest this morning that the inspiration for this morning's message comes from a struggle in my own life and a question that we'll look at this morning and hopefully look at a few answers. I want to read verse 22 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 for a text verse this morning, and specifically focusing on the last part of the verse. And we'll come back and read some context later. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. To the weak became I as the weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. What was Paul talking about here when he says, I am made all things to all men? Second question I have is, does that apply to me? Do I need to be all things to all men? And if so, how do I go about doing that? Or how far does all go when I am becoming all things to all men? How do we live this out in our culture? Sometimes just keeping ourselves and our family going in the right direction is enough of a challenge. And I realize Paul didn't have some of the family obligations that many of us as followers of Christ have, but I believe we all have this call and commission on our life to be all things to all men. We call it the Great Commission, but it goes like this: Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So notice Jesus says, all nations and all things. Paul said, I am made all things to all men. If you see that difference there, Paul was living out the Great Commission. I am made all things to all men. So how, as we as a congregation here in Altoona, live out this in our setting? Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And we know the best way to teach something is to live it out. Sometimes a concept can be really hard to understand, but if we see someone live it out or show us, then we can understand it. That connection is made. And I've been thinking about this for a little while, because over the last few years as an outreach committee, we've been discussing different ways that we can, as a congregation, could reach out in the communities that we live in. And those discussions are what led to a document that we shared with you all maybe, I think, about a year ago. And the title of that document is Outreach, Vision, and Goals. And it just kind of put some things down on paper that we had been talking about. And I actually put a copy in your mailbox this morning so that you can look over that and refresh your memory. And in that document, we're reminded of many ways that we can live the gospel out here in our community. And this morning, that's what I want to do, is just remind us and encourage us to be the hands and feet of Christ to those around us. And I'm blessed, by the way, many of you do reach out. I'm not sharing this message this morning because I feel like it's something that we are really struggling with. But just want to encourage us again this morning to keep up that work. And I hope this message this morning can be an encouragement. Because if you're like me, we can start a work, and it's in the days and weeks and months and even years ahead that we begin to wear out. We get tired. We can start out with energy, and we can lose that enthusiasm. And we can look at the work that we're doing, the investment that we're making, and we can ask, is this even doing anything? Am I even making a difference in this person's life? Where are the fruits? I'm working. I feel like I'm throwing everything into this relationship. I feel like I'm doing all I can, but where's the fruits? You think about a work like Bible Discovery. There's a lot of time and dedication and energy that goes into that work. And while it can, and after a while we can just kind of burn out and we wonder if it's worth all the resources that we're putting into it. Maybe it's a group effort like Summer Bible School. We just came through a week of Summer Bible School, where every night we get the family together and we go to Summer Bible School, and there's teachers that are lined up, and there's curriculum that is purchased, and there's a lot of energy that goes into that. And you get to the end of the week and you have to ask the question, well, was it worth it? What do we get from that? Or maybe it's something even less glamorous than that. It's just a committee that we serve on, where we pour hours of time and energy into that. A Bible school board, or an outreach committee, or a school board. And some of these efforts require a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of travel to make them happen, to make them work. Or maybe it's just a relationship that you have with somebody in the community, and you've poured countless hours and energy into hoping to see that person come to Christ and change his life patterns. And from the outside, it looks like there's been little to no change. It can be discouraging. And we just sort of get burnt out. So what does it mean to become all things to all men? I'd like to read the verses surrounding it to maybe get a little bit of a context and maybe gain some inspiration from Paul here. Let's start reading in verse 19. It's a little hard to know where to break in here, break this into a thought. But I think we'll start at verse 19 and read through the end of the chapter. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became as the weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain an corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I think there's some keys that Paul gives us here in this passage on becoming all things to all men. And I think the first one is in verse 19. It says, I have made myself a servant to all. Though I be free, I have made myself a servant to all. And I don't know about you, but the word servant just sort of makes my flesh cringe when I think about becoming all things to all men. Because when we think about the word servant, it's sort of just like writing a blank check and saying, I'm going to be in service to this person, but I don't know what it's going to ask of me. I don't know how long it's going to be required of me. I don't know where it's all going to take me, but I'm going to make myself a servant. That's what Paul said here. He was willing to do for the gospel's sake. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant unto all. We like freedom. This week, this country is going to celebrate independence. And we like the thought of not being under someone else. We're free to do as we please. We enjoy that freedom. But what do we use that freedom for? Paul's talking about a spiritual freedom, I believe, here. He was not indebted to anyone. If you look at earlier in the verses, he wasn't he didn't require support from others, so in that way he was free. But we're free in the sense that we have religious freedom. We have opportunity to reach out to other people. And are we using that freedom to its full advantage? If we think about the Great Commission, it's just words, unless there's action that's put with it. Service to our fellow men says so much. When we're willing to serve someone, we're willing to walk with someone, regardless of who they are, what their needs are, however it may, whatever it may cost us, that's when the Great Commission gets put into shoe leather and lived out. I think a second way that we can become all things to all men that Paul points out here is in verse 20. He says, "Under the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." And the point I want to take from that verse is that we share truth in relatable ways. When I looked at the Sunday school lesson this morning and I was preparing the message, I thought, well, that's not going to overlap at all. But as we listened to the Sunday school lesson there, talked about truth and talked about bringing people into our houses, I noticed a lot of overlap, and I think we'll see some more of that as we go along. But share truth in a relatable way. So Paul, he preached the truth, he preached Christ to two very different groups of people. The Jews, years, thousands of years of tradition and culture. And the Gentiles, who were the outsiders, they're over here on this side, and they're coming to Christ from a completely different angle, completely different background. And I'm sure this was a huge challenge to the church that Paul was writing to here at Corinth. And I think sometimes it can be a struggle for us today. At least I know it's something that I can wrestle with. How do we build that bridge? How do we make the truth relatable to people around us today when we can just face it? We have a culture. We come from a culture. We've been taught Bible principles from little on up. And often we're sharing the gospel with people who are unchurched or don't have that background. How can we build that bridge of connection to make the truth relatable to them? How do we bridge that background gap? And we'll talk about that maybe a little bit more later. I think the third way that Paul became all things to all men is very similar to our first point in becoming a servant. But number three, make ourselves vulnerable. We see that in verse 22. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. We shy away from vulnerability and weakness. We want to feel like we have life under control. We've got things figured out. We know what's coming next. And we like to feel that way. But Paul says, to the weak, I became as the weak. Could this be one of our problems in becoming all things to all men? Maybe we come at life from maybe a stronger position. And we can look down on other people and say, if you would just stop doing the stupid things that you're doing, then your life would be like mine. You would be able to change. You wouldn't be where you are if you would just do the things like I do. Why don't you just do what I do? And even if we don't just come out and say that, it's easy for that to come out in our attitude and our actions in relating to people. That I have life figured out. And just do what I do. But Paul says, to the weak I became as the weak. But how did Paul make himself weak? I think he voluntarily placed himself in situations that he knew would cost him dearly. That's how he made himself weak. He voluntarily placed himself there. And that wasn't just giving up a few dollars. If he put his own life in danger. We see that many times. He risked his life to share the good news of salvation to all men. But he made himself vulnerable. I think if we're going to make the connection and become all things to all men, we're going to have to place ourselves in some vulnerable situations sometimes and not have everything figured out, not have everything under control, but turn those things over to God, allow him to work it out. and I'm speaking to myself here this morning. It's something that we struggle with as we journey through life. We have a lot of questions. How am I supposed to live this out? How am I supposed to make this work? Just some thoughts I was sharing with some friends this week. We have the phrase, God doesn't ask us to do more than we can handle, or something like that. And I have not found that to be true in my life. I have found that God brings things into our lives that are more than we can handle. And then he helps us through those situations. So make ourselves vulnerable. I do want to think about this phrase here in verse 22, made all things to all men. It's coming back to our title and our original thought. What does it mean to be all things to all men? So many have taken this verse to mean that if you want to win the world, then you got to be like the world. So they get rid of the hymn book and they have a worship band instead because we need to be up to date. We need to be able to connect with the youth. So we need to be able to wear the same clothes that the world does so people don't feel uncomfortable. We need to go to the same places that the world goes to so that we can be a witness to them. And you just go down the list of things. You know what I'm talking about. And some of these are valid points. But if we jump back to verse 21, I think there's a key here that this is not what Paul was teaching. He says, to them that are without the law, as without the law, then the phrase in parentheses in my Bible says, being not without the law to God, but under the law of Christ. So there's a law governing Paul's life here that, transcended all laws around him. And that was the law to Christ. He said, to them who are without the law, referring to the Gentiles, without the law, referring to the law of Moses, but being not without the law to God, under the law to Christ. Paul was not saying, live like the world so you can win them, but I think he was saying, invest in every person. When he says, become all things to all men, invest in every person and build that bridge on common ground, but never compromise being obedient to God's word. I think we see this happening all around us today. You point to a church and it's indistinguishable from the world. Well, what happened? Maybe we have a word for it like assimilation, where they just keep changing to meet the current culture, to reach out to people. Outreach becomes the focus, and we want to win people, want to bring people in the back doors. So just say what people want to hear. Don't pretend truth, just present Jesus and bring people to Jesus and water down the truth. That's not what Paul is saying here. He says stand clearly on God's word and the law of Christ. And then there's other groups who are so afraid of this happening that they swing over to the completely other side. And they feel like anything that would change would be a compromise. And you can see maybe some of the old cultures where even the services are in different languages because we're going to preserve. We're going to preservation mode and because we're afraid of assimilation. And we'll get to this later, but it is a thing that we need to be careful. Paul finishes this chapter with. We need to be careful in being all things to all men that we maintain our integrity and we maintain a place of that we can reach out to others. We don't lose our own faith, as Paul says it here in verse 27. We'll get there eventually. But I think that transformation is the best antidote for just conforming to the world. When we have our transformed mind, transformed life, it helps us to be that all things to all men without having that influence wear us down. I know we discussed some of this in Sunday school. I enjoyed that discussion. But the child of God is always going to be different as he lives out the teachings of Jesus in any culture across the globe. Think about the verses in Peter. It says, they think it's strange that we run not to the same excess of riot. There's going to be a difference between the child of God and the world. But we need to be able to build that connection that we can share the good news of salvation. People want that connection. They want to know that you understand them, where they're coming from. If you've ever done any type of in-home sales, where you're going to a person's house to sell them something, it's pretty much 101 of sales that the first thing you talk about is probably not what you're going to sell. You want to first establish that connection with the person if you want to sell them something. Maybe it's a boat in the garage. Maybe it's a, but you're talking to an older lady, talk to her about her children. Or an older man, talk to him about his career. What did you do when you were in the workforce? And build that connection with a person, and then conversation can start to flow. It's not any different when we're talking about becoming all things to all men and sharing the good news of salvation. We need to have that connection with them so that we can continue that conversation. And sometimes it feels like we just don't have too much in common. But we all have that core need. We all need a Savior. That's common ground for us inside these walls here this morning and every neighbor that's on this street. We have a core need of a Savior. And there's many people who are looking for hope. And we have the message of hope in a dark world. We can share that with those around us. Sometimes we can forget the common ground that we do have. But we must be very careful to walk lives of holiness and godliness, but never become self-righteous in this idea of becoming all things to all men. Jesus is the reason that we are different. We've been transformed. That's why we walk different, live our lives differently.
Excuse me.
Number 5, in becoming all things to all men, Paul says, that I might by all means save some. I'm inspired by Paul's passion for the lost in his writings. We can see it again and again. Becoming all things to all men to at least save some. We're going to have times that we do everything we can to point someone to Christ, and at the end of the day, they choose to reject. It's sad, but it's a reality. That should not hinder us in becoming all things to all men. That some are going to reject. We do what we can. We share where we can and be a blessing wherever we can. Paul says he does all this. He becomes all things to all men. Number 6, he does all this for the gospel's sake. There's a lot of different motivations we can have for becoming all things to all men. Maybe it's a desire to be well known, or maybe it's a desire to have the brotherhood look at us and say, well, he's really on fire for the Lord. He's reaching out. He's doing things for God. Paul says his reason for becoming all things to all men is so that God can get the glory, but it's for the gospel's sake, so that more souls can be in the kingdom. That was his desire for others. Number 6, I want to take from verse 24. Reaching souls for Christ takes a lot of dedication and perseverance. Verse 24 says, know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. So Paul compares it to running a race. And I have a friend who puts a lot of time and energy into preparing for running races. I think Ernest mentioned him in a sermon here a few weeks ago. But he runs the top of Wapsie Mountain every morning. And if you've ever been over to 1,000 Steps, he does that with a 50-pound sack on his back. He's training for these races. It's important to him. He dedicates a lot of energy to it. Paul says that's the intense, that's the way you need to pursue this idea of reaching out to other people, becoming all things to all men with that same type of intensity. Train for it, prepare for it, and look for those opportunities to be able to share the good news of salvation. And number 7, it's possible that we lose out ourselves. We got to be careful that we don't lose out ourselves. Verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In becoming all things to all men, it's possible that we lose out ourselves. Some look where this has happened, and they don't want to take that risk. So they just go into defense and preservation mode. And there are risks involved. There's influences that we will face. We have to be careful with our children, especially what we as fathers are going to allow into our homes. Maybe it's neighbor children coming over, whatever it may be. You know what you face in your community, in your home. But we need to be careful that we don't lose out ourselves. Paul says he brings his body under. Our flesh must be brought into subjection of the Spirit if we're going to be effectively become all things to all men. Satan is not happy when we are advancing the kingdom. So we can expect attack from him when that's our focus. He wants to limit that. He will just try to destroy our efforts. And years of building can be torn down in a single day if we let our flesh get in the way and destroy us in this idea of reaching out. Well, I do want to look at a little bit of inspiration this morning here in the closing to encourage us. And just a couple points here. Number one, saving souls is God's business. Sometimes we can be overwhelmed with the work that we have and thinking about every soul being headed towards an eternal destiny. I can become overwhelmed by that thought. But John 6, verse 44 says, "No man can come to me," these are words of Jesus, "no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Christ's Spirit speaks to people and draws them to him. And we just need to be there for those people who are looking for answers and speaking to them a word for Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I like those two words, any and all. That includes everyone. That's God's desire, and he will send his Spirit to convict those who are, he wants to draw to himself. Those who he knows will choose him. God's Spirit speaks to all men and gives them that opportunity to turn to him. We can become all things to all men, but every person must come to that place of repentance on his own. We can preach and teach. We can be an example. We can say all the right things at the right time, but it's God's Spirit who works in the hearts of a person and draws them to him. We can't do it. No matter how much we wish for it, we cannot change people. Only Christ changes people. But we do have a part. That's the second point I want to share here this morning, is we are called to sow the seed. That's our responsibility. And I don't think we'll look at the parable this morning of the sower. But the sower went out to sow. And it's an interesting story that Jesus told about one of the mysteries of the kingdom. And it's not often that Jesus gives a parable and then gives the meaning right after it. But there's a kingdom principle. Actually, let's turn back there. Luke chapter 6. We know it pretty well, but it won't take long to read it. Luke chapter 6, verse 5. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 8, verse 5. "A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.'" Excuse me. "And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they might not understand.' Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Luke 8, verse 13. "They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit unto perfection. But that on the good ground are they which have an honest and good heart, and having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So the sower, he walks along and he's scattering seed wherever he went. And it seems like he just scattered the seed, regardless of the soil type. Because he just scattered some seed, and some fell upon a rock, and some fell right by the road, and some fell on a thorny patch, and then some fell into good soil. It just seems like he walked along spreading seed. We like results. So we like to look at the soil and then plant our seed where we think it has the best chance of producing 100-fold. That's what we do when we plant garden. A few weeks ago, we planted some pumpkins at our place. And we didn't have room in a raised bed, so we walked around behind the barn, and we looked for a place to plant these pumpkins that would be suitable for these pumpkins to grow. We look at the soil, and then we use logic to decide if that's where we're going to plant the seed or not. It doesn't seem like the sower did that. He just walked along sowing the seed, let it fall wherever it would. And Jesus said here, the seed represents the word of God. And if we sow the seed, the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews tells us, then we don't have to focus so much on the soil type as we do sowing the seed. We just indiscriminately sow the seed, and we leave the results up to God. Now, I do think there's times where we maybe plant different seeds in different soil because we want to be effective. I think there's a place for that. But the point here is we just sow seed and allow God to give the increase. 1 Corinthians 3 says, Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then he that planteth and is... So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man should receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, we are God's building. So our responsibility is to plant the seed and let God take care of the increase. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6 says, But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And the context of that is talking about giving, but I think that law applies to sowing the seed of the word of God as well. Sow it abundantly. The law of sowing and reaping is a positive thing for sowing the right seeds. Number three is an encouragement. So we are human and God knows that. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says, But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have limitations in being all things to all men. We have limitations. There's only 24 hours in a day. We can't extend that. We have energy limitations. God created evening and morning. And we're created with that sleep rhythm. And we can flex it around a little bit, but at the end of the day, we get tired. God knows that. We also have resource limitations. We have varying amounts of resources, but we're each a steward of what God has entrusted with us, but we have limits. We can only give so much, and God knows that. But there's some beautiful verses in 2 Corinthians that are encouragement to me, some good news. It says, And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Verse 10, Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for you, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. I just think that's some beautiful verses in encouraging us in spreading the seed. God makes it reach around if we're in his service, makes us reach around. Even if we don't feel like we're able to cover all the bases all the time, God can fill in those gaps for us because we're human. He knows that. And the last point here is he God uses us as a partner in bringing humanity back to him. God wants to use us. God wants to work with us in carrying out his great plan of salvation. Why don't we turn to 2 Corinthians 5 yet for some closing verses? 2 Corinthians 5. And let's start reading in verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Let's keep reading into chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, excuse me. Verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So we have this opportunity to partner with God in bringing a lost humanity back to himself. So we are his ambassadors. We're his representatives here in this country, in this world, of another country, a heavenly country. And the message that we go out with is, now is the day of salvation. Now is the opportunity for men to repent and to come to Christ. And that is the hope that we have. That is the message that we have to share with the world around us. In becoming all things to all men, that's the message that we take to them, that we have hope, and this is, doesn't matter how bad things are around us, doesn't matter how difficult things are around us, we have hope of eternal life and the joy of salvation, and that's what we can take to those around us. So God bless you this week as you become all things to all men and carry this message of good news to those around us. Let's pray.
Father, we come to you again this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you for the opportunity to be gathered together with brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to be all things to all men this week as we live out your kingdom here on earth. Lord, we just pray that you would bring us into contact with people who are seeking for truth, who are seeking for hope, and that we could give them the message of Jesus Christ that has changed us and is the answer for the world around us. Let's be with us this morning, Lord. Pray for those who couldn't be here. A lot of sickness going around. Just pray you heal each one. We pray especially for the Bino family today as they lay their mother to rest. Pray you just give them strength and hope for tomorrow. We ask this all in Jesus' name.